Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Carol Masser. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Yes, a little Bob Dylan on this Wednesday afternoon, June 5th. You go your way, I'll go mine. Here to help us understand the way that we should go with our investments is Steve Blumenthal, Chief Executive of CMG Capital Management Group, managing approximately $425 million. He's based in King of Prussia, PA, but he joins us in the studio today. Steve, good to have you with us. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Just give a little bit of background, because you've been doing this for about a quarter of a century. And you don't look like you could be doing it for this long, but what induced you to be interested in this business?
I was an accounting major at Penn State and had a father who was local. I grew up there and came to him one day and said, "Dad, I don't want to be an accountant. Who do you know in the investment business that I can meet with?" And he set up a day for me, unbeknownst to me, here in the city on the Florida New York Stock Exchange. I spent a day, turned into an internship with Montgomery Securities in California, and I was hooked.
You were hooked. You were on the floor of the exchange. You got the electricity. You got the vibe.
Yes.
The energy.
Yes.
So what have been some of the guiding principles at CMG Capital?
Well, our focus and my focus since I came into the business, I actually started with Merrill Lynch Institutional on an options arbitrage desk. So arbitrage is to look for a free profit or free trade.
A discrepancy, right? A discrepancy between one price and another price.
Yes. But it led me to this kind of quantitative way of thinking. So my focus has always been in really the bulk of the 30 years in the business is towards active risk management.
Active risk management.
So think tactical trading strategies and on equity portions of portfolios, a risk focus on protecting long equity exposure.
Now, how do you do that if you are someone that's got a portfolio and you don't want to keep turning it over on a regular basis? Is there a way to adjust the overall allocation in the portfolio?
Yes. So I think that that's really where you go to manage risk. There's a couple ways to do it. I like to think in terms of three different buckets. We work with thousands of advisors, and we hope that those advisors look at our things and incorporate them into their client portfolios. So we try to provide tools to enhance return and reduce risk. Now, with that, most portfolios are 60% stock, 40% bonds. We believe equities for the long term, for sure. You're going to get that return driver. But there's just periods of time when the trade is set up to be an attractive forward return for the next 10 years. And there are certain periods of times when it's not. Today, most portfolios that we review are 60% stocks, 40% bonds. We're not as worried about that stock component in the portfolio, but the 40% exposed to bonds, we think, is the big potential bomb that exists in those portfolios.
So why? Why is it a potential bomb?
Well, you're getting just under 2.1% in a 10-year treasury. It's a negative return relative to inflation. We've got global central banks doing everything in the world to create inflation. I believe they will win. That ultimately leads to higher interest rates. And if interest rates move up just 2-3%, you're talking about a 20-30% decline in that bond portion of your portfolio. Most investors don't think they can lose money on their bonds. If they're owning funds or static positions, they have a lot of risks they're not aware of.
So how do you counsel someone? What do? You just go out and sell the bonds that you have a profit in? Or maybe some people put that off. They figure, oh, I'll be able to do that sometime in the future. There'll be a signal. The Fed will tell me.
Well, we always hope that, right? And my best guess is that as long as the Fed is actively purchasing $85 billion worth of bonds each month, the total supply of new issuance is about half of the total demand for bonds, and we've got, you know, a foot pressed to the metal and 0% interest rates. So we all hope that we're going to be able to get this thing right, but the switch will trip prior to the Fed exiting. And just when that is, and that's the trick. I do think that there's a little bit of a time, and my message would be to start thinking differently on that bond portion.
So what do you do with the bond portion?
Well, I would shrink it down. I wouldn't have 40%. I would shrink it down. But of course, it depends on a particular need that somebody has. But I would shrink that down, and I would take maybe a third of it, and I would ladder with short-term bonds, or I would look at a short-term bond ETF and I would just be patient and gut it out. With knowledge, could be right in this or could be wrong in this, but that will be able to be reset at higher interest rates.
Steve, you were talking about the asset allocation model, the idea that most individuals are looking at a 60-40 split, right? You're
correct.
Talking about 60% in stocks,
correct,
and 40% in bonds. And you're saying pay attention now. Maybe that 40% in bonds is something you need to revisit.
I think you need to think entirely differently about the allocation to bonds. Either own individual bonds, shorten up and ladder them. Maybe look at some emerging bond types of positions, and then also add perhaps a tactical approach to high yield, but be aware of the risk of rising interest rates. It's significant. The other piece in managing that risk would be to expand the portfolio to include what I call this other bucket. So you got equities being a bucket, you've got fixed income being a bucket, and the third I would call tactical, alternative, or other. And in there's a number of strategies that are available that can provide a return stream that are completely diversified and non-correlating to the other parts of the components. And that combined is to build a broader, healthier, balanced portfolio.
How do you do that? I mean, other than buying like a chicken farm somewhere, I mean, how do you buy something that's not correlated to the movement of stocks or bonds?
Oh, there's a lot of things. It's new on the radar screen for a lot of investors, but it's very old for Harvard and Yale's endowments and super wealthy investors who have been in that alternative space. So it's a confusing word. It's a very broad-based space. I come out of the hedge fund business. What I like to look at are simple tactical trading strategies. So I can give you some examples of what they look like. All right. So we run several, and one of them trades interest rates up and down. We call it our system research strategy. And it has a quantitative process to look at metals prices, to look at risk on and risk off in the market between equities and, let's say, utilities. And it's looking at economic data to say, hey, which direction are interest rates moving? And it takes a position to either go long 30-year exposure or short 30-year exposure. You know, this is way off most people's radar screen, but a 3 or 5% allocation in that portfolio that's not dependent on one direction, that has a 6-year history, it can add value because it doesn't correlate to anything else.
How do you do that so quickly, though? I mean, it's one thing to say, all right, my long-term view in 5 years, interest rates might be higher. But if you're looking for the next 5 days or 5 weeks, you've still got to be able to call the direction, right?
Well, you do, and most people don't have the time in their day to be able to run and manage those sorts of more sophisticated strategies. It's easier to have a position in Google or J&J on the equity side, but how do you actively manage that risk exposure? So what I suggest is a professional manager that does that sort of thing, and many strategies are being packaged in mutual fund structures. So you look at the historical return stream, you find a proven manager, and you see how it fits into a total plan.
Yeah, but let me just challenge it. I mean, if, for example, you're talking about an alternative investment plan that includes hedge funds, right, and you're saying, all right, I want to allocate 3 to 5%, and maybe I'm going to do some kind of tactical investment with an interest rate specialist, someone that knows the ins and outs of which way interest rates are going to move. If something really bad happens in the bond market, in the fixed income world, maybe you can't get your money out. So what was a very liquid tactical move now becomes a problem that you don't know how to unwind. And since you're not the one operating it, it's more complicated than a GE or,
right,
or a
J&J. So what I'm suggesting is not to invest in something that has illiquidity in its structure, like a hedge fund. Gates, lockups, holding periods, K-1s, forget that. The industry has advanced because of liquid tools, inverse ETFs, long ETFs, that enable these sorts of things to happen. So I would only look at strategies that give me daily liquidity. And in a 40 Act mutual fund structure, you have instant daily liquidity.
So the idea there is you get to see on a daily basis what the account's doing.
Correct. And you can exit by voting at the end of the day to reduce or remove that position or add more.
What about the relationship with clients? I mean, do you walk them through these various steps? Because it's one thing to say, I've got this little black box over here that tells me when we should do this versus this. But how do you walk an individual or a pension fund manager that's not familiar with this? How do you walk them through the structure?
Well, we explain the strategy and the structure. And we show them what the history has been. And our firm does a deep dive into due diligence before we add a new strategy to our platform. But we're not the only ones. There are other firms that do this. It's the ETFs. It's the simple liquid tools that enable a lot of this to happen. So there is an education process. We're not saying go all in. We're just saying expand the diversification stream.
Expand the diversification stream. What about moving outside of stocks, bonds, and as you describe these hedge fund strategies, things like metals or real estate? I mean,
I would put that in the other bucket. In one of the pieces that I wrote last November, I said short yen. So I think that can be a targeted bet. You know, every investment position that you put in is a risk. It's a bet on something. Whether it's an individual stock or a bond, it's a bet on something. And the idea is that it's important to take the risk, but modern portfolio theory wasn't designed to mean put 60% stocks, 40% bonds. It was designed to incorporate a number of diverse risk return streams. So that's why an endowment in the past could invest in hedge funds where everybody else couldn't, unless you have a super wealth. I'm saying that this has come mainstream. Look, seek, find. There are a lot of strategies. And out of that bucket of a lot of strategies, there are some very good ones that can...
One question for you has to do with margin debt, because I've been reading a lot about how margin debt leverage has increased recently. Do you notice that people are more interested in that? Is that not something that you just avoid? Because you can ride out almost anything if you don't owe somebody else money at the same time.
So you're touching on something that's pretty interest to me, and that is probably the most critical part in the investment is getting the structure right, not getting sucked into this gambling casino. Leverage is an element that we watch, and when it gets real big like now, we get concerned to the risk that's in the system.
I want to thank you very much for joining us. Steve Blumenthal, Chief Executive, CMG Capital Management Group, approximately $425 million under management, based in King of Prussia, PA. This is Taking Stock.
Taking Stock, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.